I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up? The Anchor Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Coming up in studio in about 18 minutes from now, our friend Randy Couture, MMA legend. So that should be a lot of fun. Randy going to be joining us in studio coming up here at about 20 minutes past the hour. I know that there's a lot of conversation out there surrounding the New England Patriots with the Cincinnati Bengals and taping. I told you yesterday I did not believe that the New England Patriots would go to such extents to cheat again to try to beat a 1-12 squad. I felt as though that the Patriots wouldn't risk further penalty knowing that they were nailed in the past, have a first-round draft pick docked. I did not think they would risk that again to try to beat a 1-12 team. I told you that yesterday. So in many ways, I did not find culpability with the Patriots. I didn't think that was realistic. I did think yesterday when Bill Belichick was asked about it and says, we don't knowingly or intentionally break the rules. That was classic criminal speak. I would never do anything knowingly. I wouldn't intentionally rob a store. We wouldn't intentionally break the rules. I mean, not saying we won't break the rules. We wouldn't do so knowingly. Nice cover. But then I started making some phone calls yesterday. Obviously, I've worked in Boston and have spoken to some people around the league. And I was going into the conversations just thinking, okay, so what's the feeling of the league right now? What's the feeling behind the scenes right now? And I was surprised. I was surprised to learn that there is some real skepticism over whether the Patriots are innocent or not. That there is a thought, a very real thought within the league, that the reason that the Patriots were getting film on the Bengals wasn't so innocent as this was just something done about a profile on one of our staffers. It was much more. That actually, it's not about beating the Bengals on Sunday. They're 1-12. Patriots know they can beat them no matter what. It was about getting footage, collecting intel on a first-year head coach and a first-year defensive coordinator that they don't have intel on yet because they like to have a dossier, they like to have a catalog on everybody in the NFL, and Zach Taylor, this is his first-year coaching. They've got a first-year defensive coordinator. They wanted some intel on how the operation runs in Cincinnati for future reference. They build catalogs of everybody, and that Zach Taylor specifically was interesting to them because he's running the Rams offense. He was the quarterback's coach or wide receiver's coach and quarterback's coach the last couple of years with the Rams. And Sean McVay's offense is an offshoot of Kyle Shanahan's offense, which is an offshoot of Mike Shanahan's offense, which there's a lot of in the NFL these days. Just look at that old Washington staff of coaches that are all now spread out across the league. That Zach Taylor is another element of how that offense is being run, and the Patriots love to have their dossier on everything in the NFL. That this was not completely innocent, that this is what people told me they believed behind the scenes. Would this surprise me at all? No, not at all. And it goes to show you some bigger thinking is always needed within the Patriots organization. It's not just about Sunday. It's about always the bigger picture. And so now, do I believe that there could have been ulterior motives? Yeah. Because of the people I spoke to, they've got some good connections on this and some good resources and some good experience. So I would just put that out there as a potential working theory within the NFL and know that once again, the Patriots are up to their potentially heinous crimes. But what else is new? 20 years of this, you can never be surprised. I would say I don't think that the NFL comes down hard on them because I think the NFL, after Deflategate 1, became such a war, a public battle, a lot of mudslinging, the stupid website that the Patriots put out there about the scientific method, the ball pressure, Kraft and Belichick lined up against Goodell and the NFL, divisions within the owners behind the scenes. I think that whole thing the NFL wants to avoid again, and that they don't want this to go much further than this. And so the Patriots were asked, hey, apologize publicly, which they did. And by the way, the Patriots have never apologized for anything ever. So this is interesting. But also, number two, the NFL already is saying, we believe the Pats. Interesting, right? I mean, could you ever believe the Pats? I mean, of course not. 20 years, we have evidence you don't believe the Pats. But the NFL is. This tells me they don't want this to become a thing. Neither side does. Neither side realizes it was a big black eye for everybody the first time around. They don't have the stomach for it the next time. And so they're going to let this sleeping dog lie. But that there's a lot of skepticism around the league of that the Patriots didn't know exactly what they were doing. So there's that. Now this brings us to Sunday's game. Tom Brady can play like absolute dog food and they'll still win this game by 2 touchdowns. The Patriots have proven this year that they don't play well against decent teams, but they play really well against crap teams. And the Bengals are the crappiest of the crap teams. Now, here is Rodney Harrison, because every other analyst on football, on games, have been telling you it's not on Brady. It's the offensive line. It's the wide receivers not getting separation. It's not enough targets. The wide receivers aren't doing their job. There's no sustained ground game, right? Everybody has told you that. Collinsworth and Romo and the CBS halftime team and everybody is saying it's not on Brady. Every column you read is not on Brady. Wouldn't you know, a guy that would probably know, Rodney Harrison, who has won Super Bowls next to Tom Brady, on the same team as Tom Brady, actually had a different take.
That the Patriots, they have a lot of problems. They're in trouble. They have to try to fabricate, to try to create some offense. They're very frustrated. And you can start to see that Tom Brady, he's just not the same player.
Rodney, how could you say that? We've been told this entire time that he's the same player, that it's everybody else. Rodney, how could you? This was on the Mike Tirico podcast. Rodney's telling the truth. Rodney knows what he's seeing because Rodney saw the very best of Tom Brady when he was there. He knows what Brady's capable of doing. And he knows at 42 years old, Brady is no longer capable of doing those things. And as I've mentioned in the past, I find this whole thing to be a little disheartening, to be honest with you. Because when Joe Montana was in Kansas City, everyone was willing to admit Joe Montana looks old. And willing to admit this is not Joe Montana 1989. When Peyton Manning in 2015 is with the Broncos, everybody is willing to admit Peyton Manning's washed up. He's a game manager. This is not Peyton Manning of 2013. When Brett Favre is in his final breaths with the Vikings, everybody admits this is not Brett Favre of 5 years ago. And yet for some reason, at 42 years old, nobody can admit that Tom Brady's not Tom Brady. It has to be something else. It has to be the ground game. It has to be the targets. It has to be the offense. It has to be the offensive line. It can't be Tom. And it's a little weird because I know what I see. And I see Brady not nearly the same assassin as he was physically and mentally 2-3 years ago. And why would he? He's 42. And I think this is one of the great sleights of hand done by Tom Brady. Brady's saying for 5 years that he wants to play until he's 45. And playing well up until now and winning a Super Bowl last year and throwing for 500 yards in 2 Super Bowls ago has led everybody to believe that that's a viable, reasonable expectation. And so that the age right now isn't the thing. When playing at 45 was always going to be virtually impossible, unless you really want to just be dink and dunk, game manager, win 6 games. You know, if you want to be that, I suppose you can still do that at 45. But you're not going to be the Tom Brady at 45. Nobody's body ever has, and nobody's body ever will. Unless we start becoming cyborgs. And it's like people can't understand why Brady would look like this. Does he have Gronk? No. But you think that's the only reason Brady looks like this? When guys are open, he's fluttered passes. He's underthrown. He's been frustrated. He's been down. He's been sullen. You think this is all on somebody else? Or is the reality of 42 years old set again? Here's Rodney Harrison. It's his teammate saying, you know, Brady's not doing what Brady used to do. He's not Brady anymore. Hello, thank you, somebody. This is not crazy to suggest that somebody at 42 years old doesn't play like somebody at 40 years old. Every year is going to deteriorate. It's only going to get worse. He's clearly going downwards. It's not going to get better. And it's just like there's such a protection and a ignorance is bliss situation with Brady. And I guess it's because he's been so good for so long and such a good ambassador for the league and a champion and the GOAT that people can't move off that spot. But I know what I see, and I don't see a guy that does all the things he used to. Let's face it, he doesn't. Nor should he, and I don't blame him for that because he's 42 flipping years old. And only Rodney Harrison's able to admit that. When we come back, MMA legend Randy Couture is in studio with us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Hey, good morning, DA. Can you beat me up? So I am a longtime listener of you guys. You're fantastic. You make my day. When I'm driving around, doing my job, you make my day.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We appreciate the support out there. Happy holidays to all of our listeners. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. PFL is coming back for its World Championship in New York City and Madison Square Garden's Hulu Theater on New Year's Eve. Just a couple of weeks away, and it's going to be broadcast on national television, ESPN2, from 7 p.m. until 11 p.m. Eastern time. 6 title belts will be raised, 6 millionaires made. And joining us to discuss is our good friend. He's joined us in the past before to talk about the PFL, and that is MMA legend and Hollywood star Randy Couture. Randy, good morning. How you doing?
Very, very good. Thanks.
Excited to be in the city this time of year?
Absolutely. That was nice to wake up to a little snow. I kind of expected that.
We got a little dusting here in New York City. Of snow makes the city. You don't really see the trash as much when the white cover snow is. Can't smell the rats. It's kind of nice.
The plus side.
Yeah. But this actually is, whenever anybody asks me how it is to live in New York City, I say, come in December. Because all of the stores are decorated. The lights are twinkling. Rockefeller Center is lit up, and there is a really festive, cool atmosphere around here for the holidays throughout this month. And it's got to be cool to have PFL here for this month because it really feels like there's a cool energy.
Absolutely. It's a great place to spend New Year's Eve. This is our second season here for the finale. And, you know, anytime you get six new millionaires walking out of there at 11 o'clock on New Year's Eve, that's a great way to start the year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there is such a jolt of energy around New York City and around Manhattan on New Year's Eve normally because of Times Square, the ball dropping, and just people doing a million different things. So to be in the middle of that for the PFL World Championships, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the perfect timing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. Spectacular.
Six new millionaires. That's, you know, in MMA cash, that is major, major, major cash. What have you noticed from the previous winners of the last couple of years?
Well, I think the biggest thing is this format, kind of creating a true sports format for mixed martial arts, which nobody's ever done, fighting in a regular season, trying to get to the playoffs, fighting twice in one night in the playoffs, quarterfinals and semifinals on the same night, which is a pretty tough night. And then obviously the culmination in Madison Square Garden to get a chance to step on that scale that Muhammad Ali weighed himself on. I mean, it's pretty nostalgic and interesting and great venue. And then, a lot of these guys would have taken them years to get up to potentially maybe making this kind of money. And I think that got a lot of people's attention with the Professional Fighters League.
Yeah, MMA, obviously, like boxing and other things like that, built around the one-time events and the politicking behind the scenes of promoters and how do you get pitted against champions and kind of work your way up and how often can you fight. And what you guys did at PFL was created the regular season format and then the playoff format. Here's mm-hmm. your regular season. You perform well enough. You get your opponents. Here's your schedule. If you perform well enough, you're in the playoffs, and then here is your bracket. You just got to win your matches to get to the championship. And that kind of revolutionized how MMA had been structured. So what's been the reaction around the MMA community for PFL?
I think we definitely got some people's attention. I mean, if you look at what Bellator is doing now with their Grand Prix format, they're kind of following suit because they saw kind of the handwriting on the wall. What I like about it is that you said it, winning. It's not about who does the best publicity stunt or who talks the most trash. It's about who goes out and wins fights and who's effective and performs. And I love that about it.
Randy Couture joins us on behalf of PFL coming to New York City New Year's Eve for the World Championships live from MSG in the Hulu Theater. ESPN2 is going to broadcast it 7 p.m. until 11 p.m. Eastern time on New Year's Eve. You're here in the city as well for a really, really cool cause, and it's an organization called MVP, and that is Merging Vets and Players.
Yeah.
And this is, you were telling me about this, this just is an amazing organization. What exactly do you guys do?
We started 4 years ago, been training pro ball players for a long time using combatives and MMA to train them and cross-train them, and through that process we got to know a lot of these football players. Obviously, I was a soldier. I wore the uniform in the Army, And so I walked away from that, was a professional athlete, walked away from that as well, and recognized that our soldiers and our athletes that walk away from their professions or their end identities in a lot of ways struggle in that transition period. They're not normal humans. And so giving them a place where they can, first of all, start training again, because almost to a man, they're like, should have seen me when I was in uniform. So getting them sweating again, but then getting them together with guys that are struggling with that same transition, going through the same issues. There's some depression there, loss of identity, loss of purpose, especially our soldiers. Obviously, the suicide rate is pretty remarkable. And so trying to stem that down at a grassroots level, turn that around and give these guys an outlet, a place they can vent, a place they feel safe enough to open up and be vulnerable. We're trained as athletes and soldiers not to do that. And so this has been a very, very powerful thing. We've been around for 4 years now. This will be our fifth city. We're in L.A., which is where we started, Las Vegas. It's where I run the Vegas chapter. Chicago, now Atlanta, thanks to Dan Quinn and the Falcons. He got behind this program and helped us start the Atlanta chapter. And now we're here in New York, thanks to Roger Goodall. He stepped up and really helped us. The NFL sees the wisdom in this, and Bellator has been very supportive. MVP and all of that is really, really doing well, and we're really excited about how powerful it's been.
What a great cause. What a great reason to get people together, and you're seeing the parallels between former athletes that walk away, they don't have the lights on anymore, they don't have that attention, and as you said, the purpose, and then also former soldiers that are coming back, and they're the same thing. When you say loss of purpose for soldiers, is it because you don't have something as grand as protecting your country or fighting for your country, or is it simply that a lot of the guys that no longer have the service just don't know what their other passions are?
I think they haven't gotten a chance to figure out what their passions are or what that next purpose is. There's something about serving and being in service of your country. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that, in my opinion. So, you know, they miss the locker room. They miss their platoon, their guys.
Camaraderie.
Yeah, that camaraderie. Those are the guys that supported them, whether it was going well or going bad. And that's all gone when they walk away from that uniform. So,
did you have that same kind of emotional crash?
I felt very fortunate that I had that next purpose lined up. I knew where I was headed. You know, when I got out of the service, I was going to college to get that 4-year degree and wrestle for Oklahoma State. And then when I walked away from fighting, I was heavily entrenched in acting, and so that's become my new purpose and the thing that I aspire to do. And so that it's been good for me. There wasn't that lull where I was standing there looking at myself, and, man, what am I going to do now? Who am I really? So, and I think that's what a lot of our guys struggle with.
Is it hard to crack through with guys that are so macho and have been kind of alpha males?
It's been more difficult with the football players and the professional athletes, because I think there's a certain veneer or bravado that comes, yeah, I played in the NFL. And they don't want to admit, yeah, this really kind of sucks. Now I sit on my couch and eat bonbons.
Yeah.
You know,
and it happens a little at easier. 35 years old,
yeah,
or something.
Exactly. And it becomes a little easier to get through to some of these soldiers and get them together and get them to say, yeah, you know, I'm trying to deal with the VA and I have this injury, or I'm struggling with that, or my wife, or whatever the case may be. So they've been a little more open and willing to show those vulnerabilities and ask for help. The pro ball players, a little less so.
How's the relationship between pro ball players and soldiers? How did that go?
Amazing respect between the two groups of people, and I think that's one of the reasons why this is so powerful. Get them together. You know, it's one thing to see a professional ball player that you watched on TV say, yeah, man, I didn't leave my house for 3 weeks, and, you know, finally somebody's wife called and said, man, can you help him? He's really depressed. And, you know, getting those guys to open up and share those things they struggle with this has been powerful. And then that kind of takes the gloves off, if you will, for a vet that's struggling with a lot of the same things to say, yeah, man, I need some help too. I don't have a job, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So it's been amazingly powerful.
How about also the chemical stuff that goes on inside a body when you have adrenaline rushes like this and adrenaline dumps? I mean, when you are on the battlefield, I can only imagine what your body goes through, and then you go to civilian life and there's nothing like it. Same thing with football or professional sports. Could you just imagine how subdued your entire life must seem after you are out there?
Again, you're talking about 1% of the population that has achieved and trained and worked their way up to being at that level, whether it's on a football field or a battlefield. And there is an adrenaline component to that. These guys are adrenaline junkies in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So now how are they going to safely and constructively channel that energy?
Right. Randy Couture joins us here on the show. That organization is MVP, Merging Vets and Players, and definitely worthwhile conversation to check out. If you have anybody in your family that's a veteran, former in the military, and would need some help, could use some help, this is a great organization to reach out to.
Absolutely.
So that's MVP. You're also here, as we mentioned, for PFL, New Year's Eve, 2019 PFL World Championship. You got your eye on any specific fighters going into this thing?
We have two returning champs from last season. They're trying to repeat, and Lance Palmer and Nathan Schultz, both exciting guys, fun to watch. Lance is a total package. I mean, he's student of the game, nutritionist, strength coach, moved his camp to Jersey to train with Frankie Edgar and you know, Eddie Alvarez and a bunch of guys in his weight class, and he's really firing on all cylinders. Nathan Schultz kind of grinded it out to win last season. He beat Chris Wade from Nassau, you know, from Long Island in the semis, and a lot of people thought he didn't win that fight. This year he's been on fire. He's had 4 stoppages in the regular season and the playoffs, 3 submissions in a knock, or 3 knockouts and a submission. And so he's kind of shut up all the naysayers. Obviously, Kayla Harrison in the women's division, 2-time gold medalist judoka, you know, 5-0 now in MMA, making that transition. And it's been really fun to see her journey. She's got her hands full with Larissa Pacheco in the finals on New Year's Eve. It's going to be a fun one.
What is it like? What does it take for a fighter to be able to fight 2 of these in one night?
Yeah.
See that.
We used to do that. I mean, my first UFC, we fought twice, twice that night. But fighting the quarterfinals and the semifinals against 2 different opponents, you don't know who's going to advance. I mean, that's a really tough night.
Yeah.
And these guys have really stepped up and been fun to watch them endure that adversity in great fashion.
Yeah, it's a great dynamic to just kind of throw in there. PFL World Championship live from the Hulu Theater, MSG, in New York City. If you're in the area for New Year's Eve, and so many people are, if you're watching on TV that night, ESPN2 from 7 p.m. until 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Six title belts, six millionaires made with six title fights in the PFL World Championship. Randy Couture is our guest. Randy, it's always good to catch up, man.
Thanks
so much.
Glad to be back.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
When we come back here on the show, we've got your stories that did not make the cut. That includes Carson Wentz and a gender reveal. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
Now we know that your dog has eaten his body weight, more than his body weight, in hot dog buns, as you have as well.
I learned it from watching you.
but also...
Thanks, Daddy.
That you've eaten his feces.
No. I ate Jay's feces. Jay has since passed. I have yet to eat Eli's feces.
Ah, so you've eaten the feces of a dog... That's past.
Yes. No, Eli, we got last August. I've yet to pick up any of his droppings and put them in my mouth.
One of the moments left in the chimney as we count down the greatest moments of the DA Show's 2019. We're up to number 9. Tomorrow's number 8. You can listen to all of them. Today was Hurricane Jane calls in from her barnyard. I'm getting burgers. That was number 9, and you can watch them all at watchda.com. Every single day, or you can watch them on YouTube. Just search CBS Sports Radio. Time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. I can't shake out of my mind Hurricane Jen in that clip saying, "I'm not dark-haired, I'm red-haired." Is that how that goes? I'm red-haired. I'm not dark-haired. I'm red-haired.
And I'm a cute little wild redhead. Don't you forget that, DA.
How could I ever? So our question of the day comes to us from John in Minnesota, who says, DA, did you see Carson Wentz's gender reveal video? I found it very awkward. What did you think? Okay, so there's a couple of thoughts I have on gender reveals. Number one, I think they're dumb. I think they're so unbelievably dumb, and I'll tell you why. We just had Randy Couture here in studio, and I am always thinking of what do we post on social for you guys, because I know that part of the job is to make sure we connect with you on that next level. I can do a radio show, but we also need to have this in video form, on your phone, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, because that is the way of the world these days. And I have to admit that it is part of the job. I can't imagine people for fun worry about this stuff. It feels very labor-intensive to go, all right, we want to tell everybody we're having a girl, so let's get 6 footballs. Let's then have pink powder pumped into one of the footballs. Let's bring everybody, me and Carson and his brothers together. Let's get everybody shotguns. Let's get out into a field. Then let's film it and let's edit it and then we'll put it up.
Whoa, it's a girl.
And I get that there are production teams via agents and managers that do a lot of this stuff. But it just feels like a lot of gender reveals are not from athletes. They're from normal people doing more work than you have to. All you have to do is type, we're having a girl. And then you have the pink heart instead of the blue heart. That's all you got to do. Why create more work for yourself? And when I see these people that every couple of weeks post the pictures of their baby or their toddler laying on the blanket with how old they are, how many months they are, what grade in school they are, and they're doing it every couple of weeks, I go, isn't this a lot of work for you guys? You're already moms and dads. Why are you so consumed about also documenting for the world in artistic form how old that kid is? It's becoming very prop-y. And I think this is why Bellotti hated the baby race at Smoothie King Arena, because the kids became the props.
It's too much. I mean, like, can we just decide, oh, hey, here's the gender of the kid in a nice cake-cutting ceremony, or even just say, hello, ladies and gentlemen, we are having a girl.
Think about what has gone into Carson Wentz's gender reveal. Get the footballs, load one up with a certain color powder, get the guns, go out into the field, get the guys together, throw the footballs, shoot them down, film it, edit it, post it. I mean, who's got time for all that?
All these steps for one little moment.
God save the queen if the Bourbon Bell wants me to do a gender reveal.
Don't you do it.
I'll never do it.
Don't you do it. I didn't do it.
I will run the other way.
It's ridiculous. And also, the idea of, forget just the video, inviting people over after they already know you're having a kid and having stupid sticks on straws that say, team girl, team boy. Like you're rooting for something. And then to have this all on video and saved to the cloud. Then the moment the child comes and it's born and it's a boy and you're sitting there with a stupid team girl sign when they look back 15 years later at the picture, well, you're going to look like the lousiest uncle, cousin, brother, whatever in the world. You know what? Whatever happened to rooting for a nice, healthy child? Who cares what the gender is? And even if you secretly want a son or secretly want a daughter, the idea that you're celebrating which one you're having is a disgrace. Celebrate the fact that you're having a nice, healthy child and you had a kid. It's absolutely spitting in the idea of having a kid to begin with, and it's just another craze with social media and bratty young women and sometimes young men who are maybe too immature to have a child that they need to go to lengths to make everything a party every month along the way. Gender reveals are stupid. Gender reveals are a disgrace. Have a first birthday party. Have a christening. Have whatever you want. Have everybody come to the hospital when the baby's born. Tell everybody you're having a baby. Stop the steps along the way. Shower or bust. Gender reveals, get the heck out.
Daddy's always happy.
Shower or bust. Which, I have to admit, it makes Carson Wentz look lame.
Totally lame.
I mean, you know, you're in the middle of trying to save your season. Thank God you beat the Giants. I mean, could you imagine if they lost to the Giants and he's still doing this? It would be a really bad look. The season's been a disgrace. The offense is a mess. You're under fire. You know, I'd rather see, I think, watching film. I don't think I need to see you shooting footballs in the backyard for your gender reveal.
Yeah. And also, like, dude, why aren't you throwing the pass and your wife shooting? You're the quarterback.
Well, and it's a miracle that he actually connected on the football, considering how errant his passes have been this
Fair
year.
Fair point. It's just the whole thing is lame. Like, he likes guns and hunting. Go out and hunt with your friends. What are you hunting blue powdery footballs?
I mean, though,
it makes no sense.
Gender reveals are just so dumb. They're just incredibly dumb, and it's just an excuse to create content.
Ooh, let's pop off this thing, see if blue or pink confetti come out. Shut up.
Enough already, too. Whatever happened also to finding out maybe when the baby is born? Whatever happened to that? Now we gotta find out. Everyone has to find. I can understand finding out, but we have to find out in this whole big charade when what the baby is. I mean, enough with the props, making babies props, like we said earlier. I've had it, and Sean has had it, too. Let's just have a normal pregnancy 9 months. It doesn't have to be a big entertainment show.
Okay, so that's 6 minutes of kvetching about Carson Wentz's gender reveal.
I'm doing great.
I'm glad he was healthy for it, too.
You struck a chord.
Okay, let's get to the cut line, the story that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Bad news for the Saints. They lose Marcus Davenport for the season. The defensive end in his second season was starting to come on last year. Had a little bit of an underwhelming rookie year. Had improved this year. Had been chasing the quarterback pretty well and had 6 sacks in 13 games, plus 16 quarterback hits and 3 forced fumbles. He was the first-round draft pick a year ago, and now he's going to lose the rest of the season. Foot surgery to a defense that already needs as much help as possible, relatively thin at defensive end as it is. coming off a game in which they allowed Jimmy Garoppolo to go up and down the field every single drive and nearly score 50 points on him. So that's a big loss for the Saints, who have now dropped out of one of the two byes. That's an enormous thing. The Saints don't want to have to play wild card weekend, even if it is going to be at home by virtue of winning that division. They don't want to play two games potentially on the road against teams like Seattle or San Francisco or Green Bay just to get to a Super Bowl. So this is a big loss. And for the Saints coming off that loss last Sunday, right now there's some panic time in New Orleans.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
The Raiders are sending a message as John Gruden and Mike Mayock, after their third straight loss of the defense getting torched each and every week, cut three different players all on defense. Linebacker Preston Brown, he gone. Defensive tackle Terrell McClain, he gone. Safety DJ Swearinger, he gone. Now, a lot of those guys weren't doing much anyway. It only been recent signees on the team. But look, the idea here is that for John Gruden and Mike Mayock, this team was 6-4, now 6-7. They've been getting really ripped up defensively the last 3 weeks. Ryan Tannehill just put on a clinic on Sunday on them, and they're trying to change the culture, probably get some more playing time for young players. Seems like all good news to me. I think this is the right move by Gruden and Mayock. It doesn't make any sense at 6-7 because you're not going to make the playoffs anyway to be playing veterans that won't be around. Get the youngsters credit, or I should say, get the youngsters playing time, and then also make sure that you're getting rid of guys and sending a message that this is unacceptable and not the same old Raiders. So I agree with what the Raiders have done here.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Gerrit Cole is a member of the Yankees, and Mraz is in full piggy mode.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
We now have the 4-train-4. That's what I'm calling them. The 4-train goes to Yankee Stadium. And this only further cements that we will win at least 3 World Series over this 9-year span.
At least.
It is. And the idea that the back end of the deal, we're going to regret it.
Yeah.
Really affected the Yankees with A-Rod. Really affected them. They still are paying Ellsbury for another year.
Well, I don't know if it didn't affect them with A-Rod. They haven't won a World Series in 10 years.
But they still were in play for anything. That's not why they didn't win a World Series. Point is, they can eat the money. It doesn't matter.
David John makes long gone.
I've noticed that the Yankees have pulled back on spending.
Because they were gearing up for this Gerrit Cole signing. They had dollar bills.
Gotcha.
It's over. Barring injury, it's over.
Uh-huh.
And this is what I feel bad for baseball fans.
Yeah.
Baseball is pointless next year for anybody outside of Yankee fans because the season doesn't matter.
Huh.
It's a matter of who the Yankees will beat in the World Series. If it's the Dodgers, I think that'd be good for TV ratings. We know it ends anyway.
I love the nightlife, and I like to boogie.
The Astros are dead. They can't cheat anymore. The Red Sox are trading Mookie Betts. They're dead. The Angels, enjoy Mike Trout. You couldn't get Cole. You're dead. The Twins, you suck. You're dead. Everybody's dead in the American League. It's Yankee time. Yankee pride.
The last couple of years, you've noticed that you've done the same exact rant and you didn't win the World Series.
Yeah,
you didn't get there.
Remember 2 months ago when it was, you guys said you were going to sign Harper Machado. You're not going to sign Cole again. Well, here we are today. How many facts do you need? On December the 11th, 2019, and Gerrit's in pinstripes. Santa's fat ass has brought us some beautiful present on the mound.
When you guarantee that Gerrit Cole will be signing this year with the Yankees, it was just more evidence that you keep saying bold things about the Yankees every single year.
I mean, you know we're about to sign Keuchel, Corbin, and Bryce Harper. We're going to get to that later on.
And they don't come to fruition.
Well, now they came to fruition.
Guarantee the World Series 2 years ago. You guarantee the World Series this past season. When are you going to stop guaranteeing?
When I stop being right. Here.
You've been wrong every time.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I can't even be mad at Mraz. It doesn't even get me mad anymore because we know he's going to be wrong. It's just kind of like this October tradition unlike any other. We just wait to see when the Yankees lose and just play all the old clips of Mraz guaranteeing the World Series. Brian tweets, I've got a prediction. The Yankees will miss the World Series for the next 9 years. That's on the table.
You want to see a guy be wrong. It's that guy. Twitter fingers get your stitches.
Twitter fingers. Justin tweets, Carson Wentz's gender reveal would have been way better if he threw a football to Nelson Aguilar. Aguilar drops the ball and it explodes pink. Ridgely has texted with his wife and sent me the screenshot of the text. DA criticizing the baby on the blanket with age pictures. Ridgely's wife has said, now it's personal, DA. First you attack Nuggets, now babies on blankets. Yeah, the baby can't breathe. There's been a lot of baby talk here on the DA show. I think it's because Mraz's baby is coming, and it's coming fast for him. But my point is that chicken nuggets are a wonderful lunch. They're not dinner. Not for anybody over the age of 10. It's not dinner. Chicken nuggets is not dinner. Number two, it just seems to me like there's a lot of work that's involved in getting the blankets and getting the ages and taking the photos and uploading the photos. It just seems like, why would you want to create more work? And I just think that everybody's trying to outdo one another. And that's this culture now. And why? For what? So that we know that it's 3 months instead of 4 months? We're good. It's for you. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti, Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan, WatchDA.com. Brad Heller on headlines. Tomorrow, the year of the buffoon montage. Be here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.